This is a weekend that we are mindful of the gift of freedom. We live in a country in which we celebrate and enjoy this gift day in and day out. The freedom to worship just like this. The freedom to share our voice, the freedom to vote, the freedom to live and to pursue our dreams and our hopes. And as we celebrate that gift, we know that it came at a great price and continues to come at a great price. And so our hearts are grateful. Our hearts pray for our nation all the time, and especially in these times as things seem rather tense and divisive. We pray for God's kingdom to come. And for God's will to be done. And we can't talk about the gifts of freedom without remembering that our ultimate freedom is not found in any nation under any flag, but in Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 8 says, "If the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed." And these are the gifts of the real kind of freedom, a freedom from shame and freedom from fear and freedom from guilt and freedom from all of those things that separate us from relationship with the living God. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed, free to live, free to laugh, free to create life for others. And that is what we celebrate and live into as we gather and worship this morning. Father God, thank you so much this morning for just the beauty of your creation, for the sun and the cool breeze. Thank you for a holiday weekend in which family and friends have gathered in smaller groups this year, but with the same spirit of gratitude that we get to live in a great land with this great gift of freedom that has been given to us by the sacrifice of so many. And Father, as our hearts are grateful for them and for this, we remember that our ultimate gratitude comes from you, a God who would create a home for us, a God who would lay his own life down so that we might be free from all of the things that keep us in shackles, all of the things that keep us burdened, all of the things that keep us from you. You have made a way for us to be alive in your grace and in your love. And so today, as we sing out, could we sing out as those who are free because the Son has made us that way? We love you, O God. Be glorified in this place. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we continue in our series on who we are. The Hello, My Name Is, our true identity in Christ. This morning, we get a new name. Hello, My Name Is, Citizen of Heaven. We're going to look at a psalm, a gospel reading, and an epistle. So we're going to be in Psalm 20, verse 7. It says, "Some take pride in chariots and some in horses, but our pride is in the name of the Lord our God. They will collapse and fall, but we shall rise and stand upright." John chapter 14, words from Jesus. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." And then Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. "But our citizenship is in heaven. And it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved." Would you pray with me? Father God, in these moments as we turn to your word, We do so because we believe that it is a living word through the gift of your Spirit breathing into it. Ancient stories, ancient verses made anew in our hearts today. God, we are in this place because we want to hear from you, the living God, our Creator, our Redeemer. And so would your Spirit move freely in each of us, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. My very favorite 4th of July, believe it or not, happened in Cairo, Egypt. It's a Muslim country, Egypt is. And what that means, among many things, is there is no pork anywhere. And then, as an American walking around these neighborhoods where your neighbors are all Arabs, you are quite aware every moment of every day that you are a minority living in somebody else's home. And if you try to forget it for just a moment, the stares and the catcalls will take you right back to what's true. But on that one evening each year, the American embassy in downtown Cairo opens its doors to anyone with that little blue passport. And on that one night, ambassadors and military folks and oil workers and missionaries alike all make their way through those iron gates, and you're in the promised land. The land flowing with pepperoni pizza and hot dogs. And there's country music playing over the speakers, and all around you, everyone is speaking English. And it doesn't matter what brought you to this foreign land. In that one moment, you're all one because you were all Americans away from home. I remember that night standing in the courtyard of the embassy with my Dr. Pepper in my left hand and my right hand over my heart as the Star Spangled Banner played. There was a tear that came down my face. Because, you know, there's just something about that place that you call home. There's just something that gets deep inside of you that just keeps calling you back, even when you're very far away. This morning, we continue learning who we really are by remembering our true home. Because as much as I like, even love, this home, we all know the truth. Just turn on the news if you don't. The truth is, if we put all of our hope and all of our confidence in it, then we're just setting ourselves up for a lot of disappointment and despair. Because you see, no home on this earth has ever been without its fair share of mess. And there's no great superpower to this day, this side of heaven, that has ever lasted into eternity. The Roman Empire, the Mongol Empire, the British Empire, the Soviet Union, they all had their heydays at that time when their citizens felt at least a little bit invincible. And all of them have since fallen. Turns out they were just temporary homes. History tends to repeat itself. The scripture story, it follows God's people around as they're finding their homes in all the corners of this earth. The story starts somewhere in the ancient Near East, in those pages of Genesis and Exodus and on. And then by the time we get to the end, to the epistles and to Revelation, the story's coming to be in this Greco-Roman world. And the people get this mandate to share the good news to all the nations, to every tribe, and to every tongue. It's in all the moving. It's in all the nations rising and falling, all the ebbs and the flows of history, from Psalms to Revelation and onward, that God keeps telling his people over and over again, no matter which zip code they find themselves in, to always remember their true home. Remember, God says, where you belong. Because when you remember where you belong, you will have a place to stand when the ground beneath you is shifting sand. It says, remember where you belong. Because if you remember where you belong, you will always have a hope to declare when the people around you are so prone to despair. Remember where you belong, because if you remember where you belong, you will always know what your purpose is and what your place is when your neighbors around you are lost and aimless. In all of Scripture, God says over and over again, my people, my children, you have a home. Find your identity, find your citizenship in your true home. So this morning, I would like to take a tour of our true home. I'm going to kind of play not as the pastor, but as the real estate agent. That's always like a fun job. You get to go to different homes every day. So I'm going to be the real estate agent this morning, and I'm taking us on a tour of our real home. We're going to go room by room. Don't worry, we won't be here for eternity. We're just going to do the highlights. Room by room of this place that God says is actually your home. And in the end, you can decide if you want to move in or not. But let's at least take the tour first. So we begin our tour. The first thing you're going to notice in this real home are the tables. The tables. If you look around, everywhere there are tables. Now, this is unique because other kingdoms are known for their fences, but this one is known for its table. You know, I walked on the Great Wall of China once, and it was incredible. Miss Pat, you've been there too. I saw your pictures. The Great Wall of China is amazing. What it is, one huge fence that goes across an entire country to keep the bad guys out and keep the good guys in. Seems that every kingdom this side of heaven has always had an affinity for fences, for dividers, for those things that distinguish us from them, who's in and who's out. And we've gotten so good at these fences that it's not just the borders of the kingdoms themselves, but the homes within the kingdoms, our own homes, are often surrounded by fences. We have our celebrations fenced off. You can only hit my pinata and eat my cake if I've invited you to come in and be a part. We call them privacy fences, keeping our lives separate from those that we don't necessarily want to be in them. But in this other kingdom, this kingdom that is actually your real home, look around. Look around. You'll have a really hard time finding a fence. In fact, there are no fences. And in Revelation, it says that there are some gates made of pearl, that's where that comes from. But you know what it says about the gates? It says that they're always open, all day, every day. For whoever might want to come into this kingdom, into this home, they're invited to come on in. They're invited to the party. There are only tables everywhere. And the eating is good in this kingdom. Even better is the company around the table. It's the marriage banquet every day. A God joined together once again with his bride and with his people, unhindered, intimately around this table forever. All those tables, are you seeing all those tables? Jesus is the head. And people from every tribe and tongue and nation fill the rows, and they're passing the macaroni and cheese back and forth, sharing from the same big common bowl. It's a love feast in your true home. at the table of our King. There are no fences, just a whole lot of tables. In my house one day, I have this vision that's going to happen. And it's this picture of a bunch of fence posts that have been torn down and that have been used instead to make a beautiful dining room table. That this symbol right before us of this thing that once divided us is now the very thing that brings us together. And it's going to be a table that reflects my citizenship and that true home with no fences, only seats for everyone. It's a kingdom of tables. And that is your true home. In May of 2011, at 20,000 feet, Nadav ben Yehuda was only 300 meters from the peak of Mount Everest. It would have made him the youngest Israeli to summit the highest mountain in the world. But when he was just 300 meters away, he noticed a man lying in the snow. No gloves, no oxygen, no shelter. And Nadav watched as other hikers just passed right by him, determined to find their way to the summit. But Nadav just couldn't do it. The man laying in the snow unconscious was this Turkish climber. His name was Aydin. So Nadav tied Aydin to his harness and he began the 9-hour descent down to the nearest base camp. On this journey down, he got frostbite in 4 of his fingers, 2 of his toes. Never regained feeling in his left hand at all. And when Nadav was asked, why'd you do it? Why did you give up your dream of the summit to save this Turkish man? His simple answer was, because we had a meal together. Earlier in the trip, at base camp, at the community table, Aydin and Nadav found themselves across the table from each other. The irony of it is that Israel and Turkey have long been at odds with each other. Enemy nations. Nadav said it was a bit awkward at first, but then we started talking. And eventually we even talked about our nations and their problems with each other. He said, but during that meal, I began to see Aydin not as my enemy, but as my friend. I saved him because we shared a meal together. Our citizenship is in a place with a lot of tables and no fences to be found. The good news is we can start living like citizens of our true home even now. We can set more tables and open more gates. Let them in. Let's dine together, Jesus at the head. The tour goes on. Our home is a beautiful place. And as your realtor, I'd make sure that I showed you all the things that made it that way. Because I know how important beauty is when we're looking for a place to settle. And this side of heaven, we find beauty in all kinds of things, in vaulted ceilings and refurbished hardwood floors, acreage for green space and gardens. We see beauty in wealth, the bigger the better, the shinier, the prettier. And so I'd want to point out to you the architecture of our real home. It's impressive too. Some people say that there's mansions there. It's hard to find that exact thing in the Bible, but that's okay. If you want a mansion, maybe it's there. The shine. The streets are made of gold. It shines. The green space, the tree of life, and the river of life is right there in the center of this garden city. The green space is there. But I would tell you, as I'm showing you these things, don't be deceived. These are all beautiful for sure, but they're not where the real beauty comes from. As we took this walk around this home, you'd begin to realize with me that the beauty is not so much in what you see, but it's in what you hear. the sound. It's called worship. Myriads and myriads of voices singing out to the King of Kings. All the glimpses of this true home in Revelation, they show the same thing over and over again, and that it is a real place where saints and angels gather around the throne, singing together, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come." It's the worship that makes it so beautiful. When my grandma was in her last few days on earth, she had been unconscious for a couple of days. And those who were standing around her bedside will tell you that there was this moment the day before she passed when she woke up from her unconsciousness and she looked around the room and said, "Do you hear it?" She said, "I didn't know it would sound that beautiful." Do you hear it? It's beautiful. It's the worship that makes our real home so beautiful. It's what you hear. You know, I've been to some beautiful places in this world, stood on mountaintops and gone behind waterfalls and snorkeled on top of coral reefs and stood by glaciers and walked in mansions and palaces for sure. But do you know when I've been most overcome by standing in the presence of absolute beauty? It's always in worship. On Sunday mornings, when our voices together rise up, when we sing the doxology in a cappella, and all I hear is my brothers and sisters saying, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." That's when I just could stand in that place forever and not grow tired of it. When I think about the most beautiful place I've been, just like that, I'm back in this little tiny apartment in Beijing, China, gathering together with about a dozen folks for that evening's house church worship. People who have scrambled from work from all around the city, coming together knowing that they could be imprisoned for this, but having to be in a place where they could lift their voices to Jesus. And I remember sitting in this circle, and when I expected them to start kind of whispering their praise songs so their neighbors wouldn't report them, they stunned me and they sang out because they just love their Jesus too much to whisper their songs to him. And as I sat in that place, I felt chills like I've never felt on a mountaintop. It was as if my home, my true home, was sneaking into this little Beijing apartment, reminding us all that we're citizens of another place and of another way. Citizens of this true home get to live beautiful lives here and now, lives of worship. Citizens of this true home, you'll know them because they'll be those people who sing their hearts out, not just for anyone, to Jesus. And they do it any chance they get. Citizens, I commission you to live a beautiful life, not by accumulating a bunch of silver and gold, but by joining that chorus that makes a beautiful, joyful noise in all the earth. Then we're at the climax of the tour. Wonder if you would follow me to the center of your home. If you move to the center of any earthly kingdom on the map, you will find the same thing in almost every one. One of my favorite pastors, Brian Zond, wrote a blog about this recently, and it was titled, "There's Always Some Dude on a Horse." And he reflects on his travels around the world, and he says, in every single city, it never fails. When you get to the center of that city, of that nation, eventually you're going to run into a statue of a dude on a horse. said from Lisbon to London, from Rome to Paris, from St. Petersburg to Washington, D.C., every nation has their dude on a horse. It's a warrior, brave and strong, who won the day in some battle once upon a time. And they tell the same stories. Our kingdoms love power and dominance and victory that comes by killing the enemy off. The kingdoms of this world bow down to the dude on the horse. But on this tour of your real home, when we come to the center of it all, you're going to ask me, Jamie, where's the dude on the horse? And I'm going to have to say, I'm sorry, but there is no horse, nor a donkey, nor an elephant for that matter. But in the center of this kingdom, there is an animal. It is a lamb. And there is no weapon in his hand. But if you look closely, there is a cross behind him. And this kingdom, your real home, it isn't founded on violence or force. Look at the lamb. Look at the cross. It's founded on love and on sacrifice. It's not founded on claiming our own rights, but on a king who would lay down his own. This kingdom, that's your true home. It's not founded on putting our enemies in their place, but on a Jesus who would love them enough, even them enough, to make a way for them to live with him forever. This kingdom, people bow down for sure. Everyone bows down. But it's not one nation to another, and it's definitely not one race to another. No, no, no. In this kingdom, every human bows down and takes the hand of the one to the left and the one to the right. And together they bow only before the Lamb that was slain. It is a kingdom marked not by dominance, but by humility. Not by revenge, but by grace. Not by oppression, but by love from the Lamb for one and for all. This is your true home. And citizens of this home are marked right here in these temporary homes by lives that are surrendered to this king who chose the way of the cross over the way of the war horse, the way of sacrifice over violence. I ask, in which kingdom do you find your hope, your peace, your identity today? There's only one that's going to last another 1,000,000,000 years. Which one is your true home? The tour's done for now. You just got the highlights. We'll do more later. But as we begin to walk out back to the cars, I will remind you that in all kingdoms, all earthly homes have their anthems. And this kingdom does too. The kingdoms of this world have their anthems that tell of bloody days when their courageous heroes showed up and prevailed, the only ones with no blood on them. The kingdom's anthems speak of blood too. Different kind of blood. Not blood taken, but blood poured out. This kingdom has its own blood anthem that goes a little something like this. And citizens of this kingdom, you can, I would say, sing along, but I don't sing. So you can say it along if this kingdom is your true home. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood, not of some warrior king, but the blood of a lamb who was slain. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This real home, this kingdom home, it has its own victory anthem too. And it sings of a victory won not by violence or by wit, but again, by love. Citizens of this kingdom, you can say it with me if you want. I heard an old story of a Savior come from glory to give his life on Calvary and save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning and his perfect blood's atoning. And I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. And this kingdom, it's got another anthem. It's got an anthem about hope. But the hope of this kingdom, it's not founded on its great riches or technologies that lie within it, but it lies on the person who lives in it. Citizens of the kingdom, you can sing the anthem with me, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, my life is worth living just because he lives. These are the anthems of our kingdom. It's got a citizenship anthem too. One of those songs that sings along about who belongs. Citizens of this kingdom, you know this one. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the children of the world. That's the citizenship anthem. And finally, it's got an anthem that tells of its future. All kingdoms try to sing their songs that say how big their expanse is and how long they're going to be around. But I'll tell you, when all the other kingdoms' anthems fade away, this one anthem will remain. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise in our true home than when we first begun. Citizens, this is your true home. It's found in a kingdom of tables and of worship and of a sacrificial lamb who is our king, where multitudes are bowed down in surrender because they're just so in love with him. Your true home, it's a kingdom eternal. It's a hope that's secured. It's a kingdom that's sneaking in even here and even now as citizens of it live as if they know a thing or two about their home. The tour is done. All that's left is to ask, so are you gonna move in? Are you gonna move in? Are you ready to claim your citizenship? Are you ready to be home even on this side of heaven? And if so, all I can say is, neighbor, welcome home. I'll meet you at the table. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, for a home, a true home, an eternal home, a home founded on love and on grace, on your life sacrificed and resurrected, we give you thanks. These are tumultuous times in this temporary home. Some people fear that it's slipping away. Some people say that it's getting better. We don't know. But we do know that it's scary when we put all of our hope in temporary places. So we thank you for this temporary home, the gifts that it gives. And yet we find our hope, our true peace, our true joy, our true belonging at home with you. This week, would you free us up to set some tables and sing our hearts out in worship and bow down to the Lamb who was slain. But you set us free this week to move not in dominance and arrogance, but in humility and in love as citizens of our true home, sharing that home right here on earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.